sound, I hope. But if I say something weird, it's because of the booster shot. My body feels terrible, but my mind...
I feel like you normally say weird shit, so I'm trying to figure out.
I sound more normal,
like
more normal individual.
Like, oh no, that's booster weird Nick, not normal weird Nick.
No, it's probably, if anything, it'll calm me down and I won't be weird.
Well, yeah, what's going to happen is you're going to pronounce people's names properly and
fucking Nick is a Skrull. What's going on here?
That's what the booster shot does to you.
What have you done with our friend?
Mitch, have you been to space?
Injected with a symbiote, whatever the fuck the American
See?
Say.
You're doing it now. Are you Nick?
Kyle's dressed me down so many times on Marvel Multiverse Mayhem for mispronouncing symbiote. That's correct though, right? Symbiote. I don't even remember.
I think I pronounce it symbiote.
I can't remember the way they say it in the Venom trailer is the wrong way, but I can't remember what they say in the Venom trailer. We watched like Venom and Spider-Man world, 3, and I was just mispronouncing it.
Symbiotic, symbiote. I feel like you don't say one the way that you should.
I think you're right.
Because you say symbiotic relationship, but when you're just saying this symbiote, that's not how, I don't think that's how you say it, right? It's, I don't know. Mm-hmm. You know what? I'm not going to have a 5-minute discussion about Venom because that movie. I don't give a fuck how you say it. It all translates to ass. Ass. That film is straight.
Is that ass or ass? How do you pronounce ass? Ass? Nope. Ass.
Here, I'll tell you what. It's booty sweat. Arse. How about that?
Booty sweat.
Booty sweat.
Cracking ass open.
Man. Thinking about that fucking movie. Anyway. Hello, welcome to Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast, the premier flagship international podcast of LRM Online. I'm your host, Brandon Jones, and there is no Jammer, only Zool. And so we are one member short of the See, I'm Nick. The
Lad-tastic Four.
The Lad-tastic Four. We got some Nicks and some Dannys in the room. Gents, what's going on?
Not much.
Can't just although not, I've just Nick. Been depressed. I've just had my life force sucked out of me by watching, what have I just watched? Hellbound on Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
Did you finish it? Did you finish the whole thing?
I've binged the whole thing.
You watched it all, really?
I know, right?
That's almost 6 hours of television.
I know. And it wasn't exactly happy television either. It's not exactly joyful Charlie and the Chocolate Sweet Tree fucking Snoopy thing. It was hard work.
But at the same time, you're the same guy. You're the same guy who was like, hey, I had to get rid of my Xbox because I was watching, I was playing too much Halo. So you just chuck your TV out of the window now?
No, I broke it first. And then threw it out.
So no one else could use it?
Yeah.
How'd you enjoy it?
I did. Well, that's the funny thing. It's not exactly a happy show, right? But I did enjoy being fairly depressed watching that film. But it was really captivating. That I think that's the key to it. It really did make me want to keep watching and see, especially when it did, minor spoiler alert, when it did the little time jump of 3 or 4 years. That was like, oh, shit, is that over now? No, there can't be. There's 4 more episodes. What? Oh, shit. Okay. And then, but immediately, 10 minutes in, I bought into that and it was fine. But other than that, I was hooked on it. So no spoilers, but I definitely recommend that you watch it if you haven't watched it yet. But try to watch it when, you know, make sure you are close to your happy place that you might need to go to every now and then, just to remind you that the world's not that bad just yet. Almost. Yeah,
cool. I want to watch it. Not yet. I hadn't heard about it until today, but I definitely want to check it out.
I talked about it. Don't you remember? No. Okay. It was a couple of months ago.
No. Memory doesn't last that long.
What I think is funny about what you're saying, Danny, is it having to be next to a happy place. It kind of reminded me of Dementors a little bit.
Yeah.
Just like if Dementors went to the gym or like, you know what, this rock dude, this Dwayne Johnson motherfucker, he's got it. So we're just gonna do that. So I don't know.
Yeah, they were a bit like that. It was brutal though, wasn't it? I mean, the trailer. Have you seen the trailer, Nick? At least have you seen the trailer for it? Okay, well, when you check out the trailer first, because the trailer gives it an impression that it's foreboding and nasty and quite scary. But when that whole scene itself plays out, should we say, for real in the show, it's really fucking brutal. It's not like, okay, this has set the tone for what I can expect for the next 7 hours of my life. And it doesn't let up, really. Even when the action's not on, it really is just hard work. I'm desperate not to try and spoil it too much, but it's hard. Hard work. But it's really good in the sense it, you know, asks questions. And I said on the Slack channel, it's another one of those, sadly, it's a very good representation of what potentially is happening in the world at the moment, glamorized a little bit, like the Squid Game. It's like, yeah, I could see that being a thing and people doing that kind of shit. And sadly, this film series does exactly the same thing. Definitely worth checking out, though. But make sure your happy place is nearby.
Yeah, I think so. My impression of it is exactly the same without doing spoilers. It almost reminds me of, at least in trailer from Don't Look Up, where you're just like, yeah, I could see people acting like that. Like, that's very...
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Comparing to Don't Look Up, that's interesting.
I mean, I haven't seen the whole movie, but just the idea of, like, this is how people act when this thing happens.
Yeah.
Like,
yep.
Yep. Sounds great. I might just spend my day on the couch watching that.
Well, that's awesome. Looking forward to see what Nick thinks of Hellbound. Until then, you guys ready to get in some news?
Yeah. Punch it. Engage.
Punch it.
Let's fly.
Engage. Let's fly. You gonna say it? Is that all of them? Is all of them engaged?
Let's hit fly. It, right? Doesn't one of them say hit it?
Kick the tires, light the fires, something like
or
that.
Kirk and Pike both say punch it. Everybody says punch it in Abrams movies.
I think young Kirk says punch it. I don't remember what old Kirk says.
I don't remember if it's the show or not, if he did it in Discovery, but in the movies at least, Bruce Greenwood's Christopher Pike definitely says punch it.
Said punch it. Yeah, I think that's right.
And then Sulu didn't disengage the parking brake, which is the joke.
Awesome. Execute.
Spike Spiegel.
Yeah, Spike Spiegel.
Old Kirk says execute.
Fearless.
Does he say execute?
Who does?
No, you're just making that up.
Older Kirk, like in the movies? Yeah. That makes sense.
No.
Execute.
Doesn't sound right. Anyway,
you're going to have to look that up.
Let us know in the comments below.
How wrong we are about what old young Kirk say. But anyway, that said, we've got a bunch of news. Some of it related to some of the things we've already talked about. So for anyone wondering, by the time you get to the end of Eternals, and I'm going to spoil something. So here's your spoiler warning. 5, 4, 3, 2. So Icarus, one of the characters, he was played by Richard Madden. Was it Richard Madden? Is that? I think it's
correct.
Richard Madden.
Maybe.
We were trying to figure out, maybe Richard Madden. There was a question as to whether or not he was actually dead, right? So at a point in the film, we got to see the Eternals factory and we saw where the judge made the Eternals. And there were multiple copies of them and all those things of that nature. But it turns out that Icarus is dead. So at the end of the film, he flew into Earth's sun and died, you know. Little on the nose for Icarus, but here's what the producer had to say. What is the melting point of an Eternal? How long does it take for them to literally melt an Eternal robot? For what it's worth, yeah, it was always that. He can't bear to face his family after what he's done, which he realizes. I don't think that Icarus even thinks he's wrong. I think that he just has so much regret. He's very sorry. I think he's sorry in the way that he lived his whole life on this planet. And that's a lot of burden to carry. So really, that act is basically saying, I made a mistake, but I can't face my family and I can't go on living. So producer pulling a Nick Dahl, even within that sentence saying like, I don't even think he's wrong. And he's like, I made a mistake. Like, okay, well, at least from my perspective, that kind of robs any potential sequel of the tension that I would have wanted to see, because they didn't say that Selma Hayek was also dead. And so I would have loved to have a scene where everybody's kind of pointing the finger at him when he eventually comes back, because there's no reason why he couldn't, based on what we saw. Yeah,
build another one. So, he wouldn't have the memories of Earth.
Yeah.
Or being a dick. So, or even his family.
Let me hear you all's thoughts. Somebody say something. Let's hear it.
It's what I imagined. Like, it's not... I mean, it's basically what I assumed that moment was. But like I said, doesn't mean they can't bring back the actor. You know, brainwashed, almost do like a Legend of Tomorrow thing where they bring back different actors as different characters, but he would just be a different version of Icarus, you know, mind wiped. Or maybe they next movie find the facility and are able to get everyone all their memories back. You know, who knows where the Eternals will return.
Hopefully never, but we'll see. Danny, what do you think?
Oh, I'm sure they'll find a way to bring him back because he was a pretty major character in that film. Even my nephew said that he'd obviously flown into the sun to kill himself. So I think it was quite clear to all age groups that that was their intention. But I think it's quite easy to bring him back. Like you say, Nick, where they've got all the previous models all lined up and they clearly keep all of the memories and stuff anyway. I have so many questions about that film, though, like how this and what that and but what if this and all that. Like, there's so many questions I have to ask about that film that we could do another show on it and I could ask Marvel people and we get 20 all day. We're not going to do it now.
No,
exactly. It's the only Marvel film where I enjoyed it. I loved what they tried to do, but I have so many fucking questions. It's quite frustrating, a little bit frustrating. Like, but everything's but oh, fuck it.
My only question about this movie is why was it so long and so bad? But anyway, any other comments?
Wasn't that bad? On...
Wasn't that good either?
It was disappointment, to be sure.
I thought it was just so. Here's the thing. There's this quote. I feel like I say it all the time. Disappointment is the thief of joy. Or expectations are the thief of joy. I expected it to at least be entertaining and it wasn't even that. Mm-hmm. So where I think before I would have walked out and just gone meh, I walked out and was like, I don't understand how you have a film by an Oscar winning director and it is just that meh with, like you just said, Danny, so many questions. And what we ended up getting out of 3 hours wasn't particularly good.
Mm. No, I see your point. I agree. Yeah,
it's probably one of the most disappointing movies I've seen since Super 8. There was so much hype and it looked so good. And then you watch the movie and you're like, oh, okay, good thing they're going to invent Stranger Things in a few years and do this genre right.
I mean, and I get it. I
or
think
Mike Ghostbusters.
My disappointment's on me, right? In some respect, my disappointment is on me because I expected it to at least like hit a certain bar. And because
the Marvel bar.
Like even worse. So there we go. That's that.
Eternals over.
Eternals over. Eternals done. No longer eternal.
Except the Blade.
So, can't wait for that. I'm super excited to see him and Black Knight do some things. I think for as little work as they did with that character, the Black Knight, I am curious to see what they end up doing. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. Moving on. Ready to move on?
Yeah.
All right. More in Marvel news. So this happened over the break, over the Thanksgiving break, which I'm sorry I didn't prepare the audience for. We were just kind of not here. I apologize. I won't do that again.
All day week.
my bad. So the power of the Black Panther has been removed. Letitia Wright, who sustained minor injuries, reported on this back in August. Turns out that they were saying that they were minor injuries, but they actually might be slightly more serious than that, requiring her to recover for a little bit longer. So the Black Panther Wakanda Forever film has been put on hiatus. And the film had already been pushed back from its July 8th release date to November 11th, 2022. And it's expected to be able to still make that release date. But yeah, it's unfortunate news to hear that there's only so much that they can do without basically one of the stars of the film. So we'll see what happens next. Danny, what you think?
Well, my immediate reaction was, are they going to postpone the release and how does that affect the rest of the Marvel films? But you ended that little intro there by saying that they're still expecting to hit that November release date. So although it's sad that unfortunately they've still got to wait and while Letitia gets fixed and healed, there's not much we can do, right? It's still going to come out November the, what did you say, 22nd?
11th of 2022.
November. So I'm okay. As long as they hit that, it's all good.
Isn't Ant-Man the first movie of 2023?
You know, I'd be fine if they flipped those two. Listen, this is what I need you to do. When Danny's talking, I need you to just like Google some shit. I don't know. You can't just
pretty sure it
these
is.
Dates. I don't know. Those are numbers. I'm bad with numbers.
It got pushed back when they pushed everything else. Pretty sure it's the first one, but I would love if they switched those if the order didn't matter, because I want to see Kang. Did you guys see the t-shirt? The crew t-shirt?
No, what does it look
it's
like?
It's a broken Ant-Man helmet, and you can see Kang's reflection in it, just barely.
Oh.
And he's looking more like comic Kang than he is just Jonathan Majors chilling.
I miss that. I wish that should have been a good story.
I didn't think of it. But yeah, if you can find it online, the t-shirt they gave all the crew, and of course they take pictures of it, and sometimes these things spoil little things, and it's the closest look we've had at Kang, though it's still not super clear. It's literally a broken Ant-Man helmet, which reminds me of the Dark Knight Rises poster. And then there's a reflection of Kang in the helmet, which reminds me of like the old Spider-Man posters.
Oh, yeah. This is relatively recent. This story is
within I think it was yesterday. Hours. Yeah.
This is a very cool shirt. So I just Googled it while Nick was talking, and there's an individual modeling the shirt. And it's exactly as he described it. This looks cool. Yeah, I think you're right. So immediately, I'm more excited for this than I am the Black Panther sequel. And let's see. Who said this? So Jonathan Majors said, I felt pretty loose and free on the Loki set, and all the powers that can be are just open-hearted. The character is different, so you move in a different way. My psychology is shifted because of the character. He's just a different guy. He who remains is not an Ant-Man. It's Kang. But the people surrounding us, the cast, my leading man, Paul Rudd, that's different because Paul's not Tom Hiddleston. This is a movie, not a TV show. I've been here since the beginning, and I came in the end on Loki. Came in at the end on Loki.
What? Thank you. I'm glad you re-changed that because that was just odd.
Hey, I corrected it myself.
I hope he doesn't change up the performance too much. I'm sure he will, like, do a darker one. And then, like, because he's the most fun I've had with a character in Marvel this year, like, big screen or little screen. I love to watch that final episode, just his scenes over and over again, because he's just
so.
He's like one of the best villains since, like, Norman Osborn. OG.
I know what you mean, but my guess, and this could be totally wrong, is that you're going to get a total contrast, right? Like, you got a guy who's, like they said, loose, happy, free, whatever on Loki's set, and then we're just going to get a dude that is a complete monster.
Just wait until you meet my variants.
Yeah, I can't. I'm actually super excited. Because if this guy is to the right, meaning further down the road than what we saw in The Harder They Fall, like that terms of sternness and seriousness, then I'm all for it.
Same.
Like, I just want it. I just
love me some Jonathan Majors.
Yeah, he's fantastic. So that'll be exciting. Like I said, unfortunately, Wakanda Forever. As excited for that as I am for this, but we'll see.
Honestly, not that excited for that one, just because of the uncertainty of just where the story could go. Like, if we had Chadwick or we had a Black Panther recast, I would be more confident. And it's a great filmmaker, writer.
Yeah.
When they were still crafting the script, Everett Ross, plays Everett Ross again. Tim from The Office, Watson, I'm just spacing his name, The Hobbit.
Tim Watson. Who's Tim Watson?
No, he's Tim from The Office, he's Watson, he's The Hobbit. Tell I'm just blanking on his name.
Unfortunately, I do not watch The Office. So
I could help you out, Nick, but I'm just enjoying
Martin
you
Freeman.
Struggle trying to... Tim Watson, you mean Dr. Watson, Sherlock Holmes.
That's why I said he was Tim on the original Office. What?
Come on, Nick. You can do it. Tim's in The Office and he was Dr. Watson in What's It? And he was a Hobbit.
Well, I mean, he's obviously one of two Hobbits that are super important. No, but yeah, he said in an interview a while ago, back when he didn't even have a script, that he felt like Ryan Coogler was trying some crazy shit and he kind of didn't believe it, but he's like, I have trust in the director. When he showed me it, he was like shocked. He's like, as a quote, where he's like, I was shocked when he showed it to me and what it would involve, especially for his character.
Okay. So. Interesting. We'll have to see what happens. Given their comments about not recasting T'Challa. We always used to say in Marvel, we trust between this phase and what they've said about what they're doing with this movie. I'm not quite there anymore.
So. That's why this one worries me a little bit. And I'm like way more excited for Ant-Man.
Yeah. I think those statements plus what we've gotten thus far is what has me worried.
But if Ant-Man's done with production and they have to delay Black Panther too much. That seems like it would be an easy switch, unless Black Panther is important to Ant-Man, but those seem to currently be on different paths, unless Kang is also an Ant-Man or some shit.
I never would have thought that, what was it, the end of the, is it Civil War or Winter Soldier, where we got, where it was basically implicating Ant-Man. I wouldn't have thought that one of those led to the other, the one where they had Bucky and the Vice.
Oh, yeah.
And Anthony Mackie's like, yeah, I know somebody. So who knows? Remember those heady days?
This Moving time, on. Captain America will need Ant-Man. Man. Different Captain America.
What's going on, Tic Tac? So we got some Marvel / Sony news. So Spider-Man trilogy, we're getting another one. Amy Pascal was recently interviewed and she said, can I say something about that? This is not the last movie we're going to make with Marvel. This is not the last Spider-Man movie. We're getting ready to make the next Spider-Man movie with Tom Holland and Marvel. It just isn't part of We're thinking that this is three films. And now we're going to go on to the next three. This is not our last MCU movie. Marvel and Sony are going to keep making movies together as partners, baby. I added the baby. That's not Amy.
Amy Pascal doesn't say that.
She's much
doesn't
worse.
Say bro either at the end of every
doesn't
sentence.
Say bro. Yeah. Anyway, I think this is interesting news because what we do know about the Spider-Man films right now is that John Watts, who's been directing these three films, he's going to be directing a Fantastic Four movie. So regardless of what happens going forward, if they're going to make another three movies, he's not going to be doing double duty on Spider-Man and Fantastic Four. So the thing that makes me excited is that at least we're going to get another tone, different tone, hopefully.
For an older Spider-Man.
Spider-Man, yeah.
See a little college and hopefully a little adult life after that.
I don't want three more films. I don't want no college. Tom Holland is 25 years old, right? I feel like
they can just skip college.
Just fucking jump.
Do like a 6-year jump again so it's even set farther in the future. I can't understand the timeline right now.
Just like jump over it. It's cool, baby. So I think that that's the thing that excites me the most is a new director to potentially a new creative team, because I'm hoping that a different director would want a different set of writers, and then three, the potential to have him move beyond high school or college. But that's just me. Yeah. What do you guys think?
That was super excited to hear the news.
Put him in a job, put him in the grown-up world, give him work, give him a camera. If need be.
I love that they're gonna keep going. Like when they did the first three, and then Tom Holland was like, I don't want to be playing Spider-Man into my 30s. I was like, but we've never really grown up with Spider-Man. We have an adult Spider-Man who graduates college, high school, and the Amazing Spider-Man movies, and is in high school for one movie, even though he's not the right age. And you have Tobey Maguire graduating to the adult world in like the first 30 minutes of that film.
That's right.
So interesting to see a Spider-Man we've grown up with become an adult. Maybe marry MJ if she, I don't know. I remember the marriage is what they considered ruining the comics, and they did one more day to erase it or whatever. But
people hated that even more, right? Like, I feel like it's not a beloved storyline.
No. But
one thing I forgot from the quote is Amy Pascal went on to say that the parallel universes make for so many interesting stories, but I don't think that every single movie is going to end up taking place in the multiverse. I think it's really exciting. And this movie certainly does. And she's referring to the newest Spider-Man film coming out this month. So
I had a thought about this would piss off Danny if they did this. I don't think they will do it, but almost like a DC thing. Maybe they decide they want to do a character on its own and not even set it in the MCU or something. But then I thought that's a terrible idea. This man, I came up with the thought. I'm like, that's an awful idea.
What, like a Spider-Man just out there, not in the MCU?
Just any character. Well, if they're like, oh, we want to do this character, but we don't want them to interact with anyone else. Let's do like the Dark Knight trilogy, or like, you know, whatever they're doing at DC right now. Some of them are just like, this Batman's different than the other two Batman. But
whatever the hell it is they're doing over there at DC.
I wish I knew. They need to hire Amy Pascal.
No. They just really don't.
Well, maybe they'll get Kathleen Kennedy.
That would be better. I would take that.
I wouldn't
be upset. Although she couldn't, she wouldn't be able to find like a director. I'd be worried about who they hired to direct the movie because they'd be fired.
Well, it would change 6 months later anyway. Whoever they hired, it wouldn't be the one that finished it.
Listen, I know we've been filming for 6 months, but you're just not working out. Just not working out.
Let's reshoot the film.
You have to try that again. So that's kind of it for our Marvel news. We've got some Star Wars news, and I think this might make Danny excited. I don't know. It's hard to tell what he likes. But Natasha Liu Bordizzo has been cast in a lead role opposite Rosario Dawson in the upcoming Star Wars Ahsoka. So in my head, I heard Jammer correcting me, and I was like, wait, did I say it right? And I got it.
So, he's always felt his presence is always with us.
Damn it. It's like the Force. So this spinoff of The Mandalorian, we're going to get to see Ahsoka Tano, as we just did in The Mandalorian show. But Ms. Bordizzo will be playing Sabine Wren. And this is a character from the animated series Star Wars Rebels. And at least for me, someone who liked the way that show wrapped up, I'm actually kind of excited to see where this goes. And I was curious, Danny, did you watch all of Rebels?
No, I got all the way through Clone Wars, remember, and then I decided to take a bit of a break because I did the Bad Batch, did all of the Clone Wars after that because I've been putting that off for a long time, and then some other stuff came up. But Rebels is next on the list because I know there are a lot of things that are linking, like you just mentioned, the new Ahsoka show with Mandalorian, etc. So I should catch up. So I don't know this character, so I'm going to have to ask you, is this someone that looks like it could well fit in to what Sabine looks like? I mean, with the magic of technology and makeup and all that kind of stuff, does she look the part? Can you recall what the character looked like in Rebels?
I think 100%. So more so than a lot of other casting. Well, actually, I wouldn't say it necessarily for this. For The Mandalorian, when they have cast people to do live action roles, they've done a pretty good job of matching the character for the cartoon. Mm-hmm. In the case of Katie Sackhoff, it was just like, Rosario Dawson. Well, yeah. So the only reason I didn't say Rosario Dawson is because that was Katie Sackhoff voice the character, right? So and then she is one for one, right? With this person, this is not the person who voiced the character, but looking at her, like, no, that is 100% the visage of the person that she's playing.
Okay.
What's you say the name was? Something Wren, right?
Sabine.
No. Character or the actress?
Yeah, the character.
The Sabine Wren, yeah.
So is that related to the Knights of Wren or something? Mm-hmm. Or even Inquisitors? Mm-hmm. It's just they like the name Wren for whenever they
did. The best of my knowledge, no. It's spelled different. So the Knights of Wren is R-E-N, right? Kylo Ren, R-E-N.
Yep.
Like Ren and
Stimpy. She's got a W, right?
That's right. She's got
a W
for Wren. Win.
Yeah. It's Star Wars. I'm excited by it because at the moment, like I said in one of the chats, at least all their shit is canon at the moment, so I can keep up with it. I might not like all of it, but at least
you know what you're talking about. You said the MCM. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, that's the Marvel Cinematic Multiverse. That's the
is that what that is? That
Nick, that's what Nick.
Me and the other guy just were calling it that.
Punt it as.
Oh, you've made
the MCM, the Marvel Cinematic Multiverse.
No, in fact, I think we're changing. We're not the first ones to say it. Because I almost changed our podcast name to that after Loki.
And then what happened?
I think I searched it, and 1,000 people are already using Marvel Cinematic Multiverse. So we're like, nah, let's not shoot for the name in our podcast. everyone obviously thought of that.
Interesting. We'll see. I, of course, thought it was manual for courts martial. So,
you have like a real answer. Wrong. It's like NATO, the National Association of Theater Owners, versus NATO, the one that matters.
I look like a clown. I'm going to put on my clown nose because I'm so wrong. But anyway, anything else, guys? Wait, Nick, what do you think about this? How do you feel?
I don't know anything about the character, and I used to hate this kind of stuff, but Mandalorian taught me that I actually enjoy being introduced to live action versions of characters I haven't seen. Like I was afraid when they're introducing Ahsoka and stuff. I'm like, I'm not going to get any of this shit. Like, I don't care about this character, but I loved her episode of Mandalorian. So I'm excited for her show and meeting people like Thrawn and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
From the history of Star Wars, I remember reading multiple books about him that aren't canon anymore, but
yeah,
I know they focused heavily on him in the book series. And even, was it Rebels? Is that the one that he's in? Or is it Clone Wars? Or nah, it doesn't matter.
I think he's in Rebels, because I don't remember in Clone Wars. Jonesy, was he Rebels?
Who are we talking about?
Thrawn.
Thrawn? Yeah, he was in Rebels. He was not in Clone Wars. So but yeah, that was Ezra and Thrawn.
This news doesn't mean much to me, but I'm going to watch the show regardless of who got cast in this character or whoever this character is. I'm sold on the Star Wars shows.
Okay.
So far, I have no excitement for Book of Boba Fett, but if they release another trailer,
why not?
It just
Why not?
It doesn't look like anything. I don't know. It doesn't look like anything new from The Mandalorian. I know it's like set on Tatooine and he's like a gangster and stuff, and this is kind of the gangster show they always wanted to make. But it's just like, doesn't look, they haven't shown me anything cool yet. And I mean, I'm definitely going to watch every episode as they air, even if the trailers don't get better. It's Star Wars, which they've knocked out of the park so far on Disney Plus.
I mean, I wasn't, unlike Danny, I wasn't asking in a judgy way. I'm asking because I similarly am like, it's fine, I'll watch it. But I'm not excited for it. So
yeah, it just doesn't have the appeal of like a Mandalorian season 3 or even Ahsoka, who I know so little about. Like, I'd rather check out that kind of stuff then go back to Jabba's palace and Tatooine. And
maybe that's it, right? Maybe it's the idea that you're getting something that's very samey versus with the Mandalorian, you didn't know a lot about it with Ahsoka because you're not familiar with the character.
Yeah.
It's all new, but you've been steeped in Boba Fett because people have been trying to make him cool for the last, 40 fucking years.
Boba Fett? Where?
Yeah. He's not cool, people.
Killed by a blind man.
Killed by a blind man. Well, right? Apparently not.
No, yeah. And they said that, I heard they probably got new flashbacks to that in some article this week. So
I'm of two minds about it. I feel like it can't be as cool as I imagined it in my head.
Like the way Patton Oswalt explains it on Parks and Rec, where he's like, cut to Sarlacc pit. A hand reaches out.
Yeah.
You know what my theory is?
They just how he comes back? Said.
No. My theory is, remember how the Crypt Dragon was living in a dead Sarlacc pit?
Yeah.
Maybe the Crypt Dragon fucked with the Sarlacc around the same time Boba Fett went in and he crawled out.
I think we talked about that when we watched that episode. Yeah,
that was my theory back when we watched the episode. So that would be cool to see. Hey,
still could be true. Set up. You heard it here first. Nick Dahl was like, hey.
You hear it here first, even though we said it months ago.
You heard it here second. Again.
For the first time. Well, so I've got some news Nick might be excited about. So there is the opening 5 minutes of Jurassic Park World Dominion. Domination? Dominion.
Domination.
Domination.
They wasted domination. The best
animation
title.
Domination.
Should have been Jurassic World War.
That would have been cool.
That makes that's basically what it is now after the last one.
Just coming up all the good fucking ideas today. See what happens if Jammer's not gone? God damn it.
Old Habits Die Hard also should have been the name of the last Die Hard movie. It's perfect. It's right there.
You know what's weird? I never would have watched it anyway. But that said, so apparently this came out a while ago and I didn't realize that. So this first came out with people that went to see Fast 9 and IMAX.
Yeah.
And this was accompanying that. So now the rest of us schlubs who didn't have access to an IMAX then get to watch this first 5 minutes, which is basically a T-Rex going head to head with another dinosaur that I couldn't possibly name. Nick, do you know what it is?
I've been playing Jurassic World Evolution 2 like every hour of the
day.
You're
the guy.
No,
you're the Hagrid of the group. Like, if anybody's gonna know, you should know. Why do you not know this? God damn it. Anyway,
it's a predator.
It looked interesting. It's a predator.
Well, I'm in carnivore, predator. I guess, but yeah.
I thought it was interesting footage. It didn't really get me that much more excited for the film. And what I also learned was that this footage will not be in the movie.
No.
So,
I thought that was the opening to the movie.
Nope.
The drive-through. I mean, the drive-in has to be.
I'm happy about that. I am. Now you've told me that, that's actually made me feel a bit better about watching it.
Okay, let's hear it. Why? Why is that?
Well, because that to me felt like it was just a promotion for the special effects of a movie that's going to have dinosaurs. I thought that this is the first 5 minutes. This is boring as fuck. It's just wonderful shots. Don't get me wrong. The special effects and everything were great, but I was like, I don't understand why. How did the dinosaurs breed this much? If we're scared of them, how have we let so many of them grow? And how did no one in that fucking drive-in not notice a Tyrannosaurus stomping around? I don't care that they're making out in the back of a car. You would hear that shit. And how, when you're in a helicopter, do you lose something that fucking big when you were literally 20 meters away from it? Oh, we've lost it. What the fuck?
That doesn't happen in Jurassic World.
You're tracking dinosaurs. You were tracking dinosaur helicopter and you lost it. That I just thought, that's just fucking stupid. This is going to be only in 5 minutes. I'm not going to enjoy this film. Now so, you've just made me happy because apparently that's not going to be in the film.
And so I think that's part of the confusion. Some of what I saw being reported was that it was the first 5 minutes. And indeed, when I introduced the story, I called it the first 5 minutes. But it is also being called a prologue. And the rap is saying that this will not be in the film. So
did you guys ever see the short they did, Battle at Little Big Rock or something?
Yeah, we were really excited for it. We talked about it on the show.
Yeah, I couldn't remember if we talked about it. That was grade A Jurassic Park filmmaking.
Will that be in the movie? That Jurassic won't be in the movie World. Either, right?
No. That was the short that's showing what the world's like. Yeah. That's nothing to do with the movie. That was also showing off special effects where he's like, we're using more practical stuff. And I'm doing more Spielberg-esque shots, like the baby hanging in front of the T-Rex. It's just really well made. But okay. Yeah, I don't know. They keep letting me down, but I'm excited to see another Jurassic World. It's kind of like Fast and the Furious for me. It's like, I don't care how bad they get. I'm watching Jurassic movies.
Well, here's the thing for me. I thought the opening to the last film was fantastic.
The best part of that movie by far.
And then it just dropped off a fucking cliff. Like, they set up that beginning so well, and it was so scary. Frightening. And like, yeah. And then it just went, no, like, it could not keep that energy for even the next 10 minutes. And I was just
remind me again how it opened, Jonesy. How did it
last? So it opens with they go to the park from the first movie.
The island?
No, so they go to the island where the park was, and they are trying to get something from underneath the water. Yeah, and then they open up the gate, and whatever fish was underneath there gets out, and then
they see like fly over and stuff. And the T-Rex just, they're like, get over here, and the T-Rex comes out from behind, and you have all the, like, they have the yellow raincoats. It just looks like it's a Jurassic Park scene more than the stuff they've been doing with Jurassic World. It just, that felt very nostalgic compared to Jurassic World. It
was amazing.
Yeah.
I thought that was probably one of the best openings to any of the Jurassic Park movies. Like, I was just super into it, and it was tense. I don't think I've ever went from liking a movie so much to disliking it in the same span of time.
So just because Colin Trevorrow can do the last one he didn't do, but just because he can do Battle at Little Big Rock or whatever and this 5 minute sequence doesn't mean we'll get a good movie the entire time, because maybe we've seen his best stuff.
Yeah. So, but anyway, we'll see. We'll see.
Just remind, the last movie was the one where they were trying to sell the dinosaurs. Right?
Yeah. They brought them all to the mainland.
The clone little girl who was like, oh, they're just like me. Like, no, the fuck they're not.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Now I remember. And I do that. I think that was one of all the dinosaurs, or lots of dinosaurs, ran out into nowhere. And I think that's what's confusing me about this. How did so many of them become, how did so few suddenly become so many? How come we couldn't get them under control so quickly? Maybe that's all going to be explained. Maybe people let them breed and stuff, but surely once they discovered that a few dinosaurs escaped, we could have rounded them up, because they're not exactly inconspicuous, are they?
Well, we also had like companies leaving with them, like terrorist organizations in different countries.
Some get away. See, boxes. I don't remember that, Nick.
Some of them escaped, but they were also on trucks going all over the world because different companies had bid on them and bought them.
Yeah, but, like Jonesy, obviously tapped out towards the end of that film and didn't really pay much attention towards what was happening. So you're saying it wasn't just the ones that ran free, but there were some that
they sold a bunch to governments and terrorist organizations because they're weapons. That was the whole point of them even training them in Jurassic World.
I'm kind of curious about that, right? So the sale happened, but did those people leave before the mayhem?
They had a few shots of trucks leaving with dinosaurs in them.
Interesting.
Even if it was the next day or something and the sun was out, they had video of trucks loaded up with dinosaurs.
Yeah, I think I will say, Nicole said they're just like me.
One of my friends, I didn't realize he was making a joke. Yeah, that was awful. I didn't realize he was making a joke, but he's like, who in the world would go to a drive-in movie theater when they know dinosaurs are around? And it was a COVID joke. Where it's like, who in the world would go outside when... There's death everywhere. Oh, we do that.
We do that all the time. Yeah. Like people are saying that whole statement about, you know, avoid it like the plague. Like, I guess we're going to have to change that statement because that's not what people do.
Jump on it.
It's not real human behavior.
Jump on it like the plague.
Nick's on drugs. The drugs are working.
I can't tell. Is that a booster? Is that a booster, Nick? Or is that just...
I don't know.
We don't know.
We'll never know. Well, the booster Nick is also a Nick that hasn't slept since like 4 a.m. but laid in bed in pain. So also getting tired, Nick.
It's like Schrodinger's Nick. We don't know what it is until the joke comes out. Which will it be? Booster Nick or Nick? We don't know. We don't know. But what we do know is that Netflix is closing in on making a Mass Effect TV show. And I think I only threw this in here. There's like no other news other than that. So between Wheel of Time, Lord of the Rings, The Expanse, Netflix is fucking going after it. And this is one of the properties that is more exciting to me than anything else. Now, I never read The Expanse books. And after watching the show, I'm super into it. But this is the one that they've got that's got me excited before it even comes out. The only thing that concerns me about it is that it's a video game that's about choice. And that's kind of the thing that got people into it. And so aside from what they did at the end of the third game, it'll be interesting to see what happens when they start to canonize certain choices. Like even between the first and second game, like people died or lived based on your decisions. And you either got to ride or die with those characters in the second and third game or never saw them again because they died in the first.
Damn.
So it'll be interesting to see what they do next. Do either of you have any familiarity with this series?
I bought the remake pack of the first three. I haven't beaten the first game because I'm on a boss, but it takes you also 40 minutes to get to the boss without a save. So I stopped. I'm enjoying it very much, but I stopped. And this is why it's funny when I think of a TV show version of it, is that when I was playing this game, I was like, they should make a Star Trek game like this. And I'm like, wait, this is Star Trek. There's like a Federation and like people in charge. And so I imagine the show would be very much... Well, I mean, but like, you know, certain races are in charge and have like been, had like space travel longer than humans. And there's the ancient, all the ancient stuff going on. Yeah. So...
yeah.
I almost imagine it to be Star Trek-y, probably with more action.
Yeah, I don't think that that's wrong. I think that's pretty accurate.
Because, I was like, I wish it was a Star Wars Trek game. Oh, wait, it is a Star Trek game.
I'm really curious whether or not this is true. So earlier this year, there was a tease from Henry Cavill that he may or may not have some relation to this series. So I think it would be completely crazy if he turned out to be either Shepard or Garrus or one of the other big name characters from this series. I would also love it if they got Keith David to come back and reprise his role as one of the characters from the series, but I'm excited for it, but also a little cautious. We'll see what happens next.
It's so far off, but it sounds promising. I mean, we have a lot to learn about it. We have a lot to learn about the Halo show, for Christ's sakes. We've just seen like teaser footage. They probably haven't shot any real footage going back to Super 8's trailer, but... bringing Super 8 back around, figure 8 in it.
We got three trailers that we can burn through super quick. One of them Danny was super excited about. So we got the Super Pets trailer, which features Crypto, the super dog. And you said you were excited. Were you actually excited for it? I could, like, I'm taking you at your word that you were actually excited for this when you
read it. I was being cheeky. Excited. Yeah, it was excited with a little bit of sarcasm because
God damn it, you need to write like a listen, you've got to write like an S after that so I know that you're being sarcastic. Because I thought you were like genuinely pumped for this, and I was like, oh, let me put this shit in the stories.
It did look fun, not super fun, but it just looks so much more fun than any other DC shit that's coming, so that's why I was kind of excited.
I mean, keeping with our theme of Henry Cavill.
I don't have to worry about this being part of a multiverse fucking Flashverse Flashpoint. This is just all the pets talking.
Crossover with Teen Titans Go.
No, I don't need that, Nick. Don't fucking...
I'm just trying to enrage the dragon inside you.
So I am mildly excited, Jonesy, but I was more happy that it had nothing to do with any of the other shit that was going on. It just looked like... it actually looked like a little bit of fun. Not super hilarious at the moment, but it did look like fun. I'm excited about it. I'll watch it.
I hate you. I dug in deep on this and I was like, you know what? This could actually be pretty good. Because what I did do was I looked up the cast and it is absolutely fucking stacked. Yes, we've got Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, Keanu Reeves, Kevin Hart, John Krasinski, Kate McKinnon, Diego Luna, Kevin Conroy, Natasha Lyonne, Mark Maron, Jamil Hill, and Ben Schwartz.
God damn,
that's awesome. I went back and watched it again to see if I could pick up on all their voices on all the different characters, because there was a certain point where the trailer jumped quite a lot and had lots of people talking. So I went and watched it again to go, okay, that's him. He's doing that. She's, fuck it, I missed that one. So I quite enjoyed doing that once I saw that cast list come up at the end. It's immense. Really, there's some talent in there.
Yeah, they're not half-assing it. It didn't seem like it was a high-profile project when they announced it. It felt like it was going to be like an HBO Max movie or something, but
yeah,
it's going to be a big theatrical release, or at least intended to be a big theatrical release, like Secret Life of Pets meets DC, basically. Never seen that movie. That's the only reference I have for
it. The trailer was better than the film. I hope the film's better than the trailer on this one. But the trailer for Secret Life of Pets was great when that heavy metal thing kicked in and all the dogs were headbanging. I thought, oh, this movie's going to be like this. Brilliant. But it wasn't.
I do have a theory about the movie. I don't know if I've said this before. I feel like one of the reasons they're making this movie is DC's making everything else so unattainable to children. Like they're spending their time making Batman too dark and Superman too dark, and you know, Zack Snyder's Justice League and R-rated Suicide Squad, that they're lacking in the material for kids. So like, we'll do Super Pets. That way we get Batman's for adults now, so we'll show them Batman's dog or whatever.
I feel like that's a poor substitute. Like, if that's true, I really hope that's not the thinking. Because for the people who are like, oh, you know, we want XYZ and blah, 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 like, Pets is not an acceptable
exchange. No, but it's just that we've discussed it before that I think DC is aiming these, you know, cartoons we grew up with, comics we grew up with, are all aimed at adults now.
But they do that. I guess it could be said that they're relying on the animation, because the Lego stuff they did, Lego Batman, et cetera, et cetera.
It's another good one.
Into more of the kiddie side of things.
Young Justice.
Yeah, I heard Young Justice is pretty adult.
The new Batman will probably skew more adult.
PG-13, probably, I'm thinking. Or TV, whatever.
So, I haven't seen those. We don't get those. I'm desperate to watch the definitely the Harley Quinn one. I didn't even realize they'd done the other ones, because we just don't. HBO Max is just not a thing that I get to see or what's going on. But there is scope there to not just keep making the kids' stuff cartoony. There is something they can do. Surely there's a middle ground. So I don't think this movie is just to aim at the younger audience. I think there is some stuff they could do.
That was my pessimistic side that would have pissed off Jammer more than you guys bringing up that theory. Unfortunately, he's not here. We probably would have argued about that for a little bit. Did you see, speaking of not being able to get stuff in your country, did you see the Star Trek flip-flop that they had in the last week? Where
that was interesting.
Where those what is only going to be available on Paramount Plus, and Paramount Plus wasn't even launching until next year. So they're like, sorry, Star Trek fans, you have to wait a couple months to watch new Star Trek.
And when they did it, right? So it was right before the premiere of the new season of Discovery, and
like
it was
days before
internationally on Netflix.
Yeah, because I haven't got access to the new season yet.
But so what they did was they put it on Pluto TV, and it was like Nick said, it was like a flip-flop. And so I saw on Twitter, Wilson Cruz was like, hey,
yeah, he's one
for
this saw.
For the international audience to be able to see this. And so in my Twitter feed, I have lots of Trek fans, and I guess a lot of those people are international as well. And there was a huge hue and cry that went out when Paramount did this. I mean, and to be fair, it was a completely shitty move, especially to do with no warning and right before the new season drops. So it was nice that they were able to make this happen in such a short amount of time.
So what did explain, tell me again what they did. So it was on Paramount Plus, right? And it always
Netflix
has been.
Netflix internationally had been carrying Star Trek Discovery, because
that's where I saw
Picard
it
as well. Yeah. Netflix. And right. Like the week that the new season of Star Trek Discovery was going to premiere, they pulled it from Netflix, and show would only be available on Paramount Plus, which doesn't launch internationally until next year.
Like it'll be like 5 to 6 months.
That's why I haven't seen it on Netflix yet. I would have been watching it had I seen it come up on my continue watching, you know, because it's obviously on my, well, I've watched the last
season. Does it come out week to week?
Yes.
Well, that's what.
Overseas.
So they changed it back then, Jonesy. Sorry, I've cut you in thread there, buddy. What?
No, they put it on a new.
So they put it on a different platform. There's another platform called Pluto TV. Which is you can watch in there week to week. And so Wilson Cruz, who plays Dr. Colbert, you know, he pronounced it on Twitter like, hey, we fought for this so you folks in international audience could get this. And so now everybody overseas who has access to Pluto TV will be able to watch Star Trek Discovery like the same time as everybody else.
Okay. Well, I've not even heard of that TV show. It's not one that I don't think we get here. But I've
it's an app. So it's just an app
on your download. TV. Or
yeah,
Xbox
you should try. See if you can get it. It's just an application.
Yeah. Okay. If it's just an app, then hopefully it's not been restricted here, because sometimes we have some stuff restricted for whatever reasons here. So I'll have a look. Yeah.
And I'll just say Hulu. The season so far has been phenomenal, I think.
But yeah, you guys seem to have enjoyed it based on your Twitter feeds.
Yeah.
I've really enjoyed it. This last episode, like I'm struggling with it a little bit, and I can't tell if it's a plot or character thing. Meaning, are they just doing a thing with a character that is necessarily creating tension, or is it? Did I just not like something that they did with the plot? And I think I'll have to wait until we get further into the season to decide. But Book, like you said, Nick, last night on Twitter, is like he's fucking phenomenal.
He's the guy this season. Yeah.
So
I was kind of emotional weight too, not just like doing a great job flying around and being a badass, but
yeah. So I'm looking forward to
it. I'm a little worried, not spoiling the most recent episode. But I'm a little bit worried about what they set in place without really researching what they set in place, because it didn't feel like it was about the anomaly, but, you know, in a space seed way.
I don't know what you mean.
Okay, fine. They wake up the alien species that they know nothing about, and they just leave.
I'm boiling it. Fuck's sake.
I'm hoping that that actually does mean something.
Me too, because it seems to be separate from the anomaly storyline, unless they're going to crash into each other.
I think that's the one thing that I don't like about this season is every season it has been like this big universe ending thing. And it would be nice if they brought it closer to home. And I know that that's what Strange New Worlds is going to be, right? That's going to be more your episodic type thing. But this is too much for me. Every season, like, we save the universe from this other, like, otherworldly anomaly. It's like, come on.
Like the intelligence.
If it was the aliens, I would like that. Yeah, I would like that.
Yeah, it just gave me bad vibes. I'm like, this has to tie into the series more, and this might not end well for the main characters.
Fingers crossed. I hope that has some sort of impact, but we'll see.
What anyway, happens. That was a Star Trek tangent for the week. It wasn't on the news, but...
Mm-hmm. But we did it. We did it, folks.
Just quickly, is that the logo for the Pluto one? Does that look familiar?
Yeah, that's it.
Cool.
That's
okay, cool.
You got it there.
In addition to the trailer for Super Pets, we also got a trailer for The Matrix. It's all WB, right? I feel like they dropped all of their fucking trailers.
All the trailers we're going to talk about are WB. Yeah,
All of them. So we got a new trailer for Peacemaker. It's much longer than the other one. And we got to see a little bit more of what this show is going to be about. So apparently they've, in addition to reviving Peacemaker, who we thought was initially dead at the end of, or towards the end of Suicide Squad, it looks like they have asked him to kill a kid. And part of that is that they thought that he was a quote unquote son of a bitch. And he is struggling to do that and doesn't actually want to. And so they have added some depth and some pathos to this character that was previously absent and looks pretty good. Like, I think I was already on board, but it looks even better to me. Nick, you posted this story in the chat. What do you think?
I didn't like it as much as the other shorter trailers, or even like the clip where he's in the hospital gown talking about Aquaman or whatever with the guy. He's like, dude, we smoked weed together. Like, but it was still funny. I'm a little surprised it doesn't, I thought it would look higher quality since it's an HBO Max show. It doesn't look as good as the Disney Plus Marvel shows. It looks like it doesn't look as bad as the Berlanti shows either. It just looks like it could have been like a Netflix series in the era.
It looks about the same quality as Hawkeye.
I didn't think it looked as good. It's probably because there's way less action in it, because that's how you have to do these shows. And there's a lot more character development, like you said in the trailer. And I don't know anything about this fucking Vigilante character, but he seems hilarious. Without the mask, it's like, what a loser. So Danny, I'm excited. Next month.
Next month. January.
Yeah.
Dan, did you get a chance to watch it?
I haven't yet. I haven't seen the link yet, but I was on board with the last trailer. So, you know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter what this one is. And it'd have to be really, really awful for me not to be interested in watching it when it comes out next year. Yeah, I was that last trailer, the actual trailer, what I thought was brilliant. It really sold me on it.
Yeah. All right. That should be good.
So last up in our WWE trailers and the last of our news for this week, we got another Matrix Resurrections trailer. I'm curious, is this a little bit too much? Although, at least in this trailer, it was a lot of, no pun intended, deja vu, right? So we get, actually, that's the name of the trailer. And so we got a lot of clips from the past movies, and there was a voiceover from Trinity and a little bit from Neo talking about, you know, maybe this isn't the story you think it is and things of that nature.
Also the glitch or whatever.
Actually see Lawrence Fishburne. Yeah.
I was actually, what's interesting about the trailer is that at first I thought it's really cool paying respect to the legacy and stuff. But then by the time you get to the end of it, it's like all original Matrix movies available on HBO Max now. So I was like, oh, it was kind of more of a trailer for, it's like, watch this shit before the new one comes out. But there is some really trippy stuff in the trailer from footage we haven't seen yet.
What'd you think was trippy? Let's hear it.
Like Trinity's like face kind of like melting, but not like the way the code works. But there's like a scene where it's kind of melting. And just there are a few more visual shots like that. And just kind of the way they compare the two Morpheuses, since that's the one actor not returning. We don't know what the hell's going on with new Morpheus or computer program Morpheus.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing that jumps out between this trailer. And there was a Japanese trailer we got over the last week where, at least to me, it appeared that, so the little robots that made up the Deus Ex Machina's face in Matrix Revolutions. So the giant baby head was made up of tiny little robots. There is a screenshot from the Japanese trailer, and it is of Morpheus looking like he is being formed by the same robots.
That was my theory.
Yeah, and I'm not particularly excited about that. And what I do, the other thing that jumped out to me about the Deja Vu trailer was the line where Neo is talking about, I never thought I was the one, but she always did. And so I'm curious, are we going to get a little bit of retconning and Neo will no longer be the one, even though his name is literally an anagram for the one, but
who named that kid? I guess it was his hacker name. Yeah, that was his hacker name.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was Mr. Anderson.
Mr. Anderson helps his landlady take out the garbage. Danny, what do you think?
Yeah, I was the same as Nick on this one. When it ended and I saw the advert for it felt like it was an advert for the other film. So then that made me think, well, maybe this isn't too much footage from the new film. And they were trying to show you how they're linked. Who doesn't know they're fucking linked would be the question to that, right? Yeah, I wasn't bought or sold on less of it. It's just obviously opened up a lot more questions like what the fuck is going on. This is going to be really cool. But with the visuals that weren't trying to trick you into connecting the films, I'm still really impressed with them. The last time it was bullet time first, right? Where it was dodging all the bullets. This time it seems to be the whole
Reception hallway going on.
That's it. Thanks, Nick. That's exactly what I was looking for, where they're rotating what looks like they're rotating corridors and the cameras rotating in an opposite direction to give you that special 3D kind of effect of the action. So to me, that makes it exciting for me because it looks like they're testing new technology like they did with bullet time. So they're trying new shit to make it not look the same as the original three films from a special effects point of view. So that makes it look really cool to me. So I'm excited to see the action stuff. The rest of it, the morphing of characters, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, that's hopefully they're going to explain all that shit. But I'm interested to ask you, though, Jonesy, I don't recall that bit with the little robots and stuff. So what are you concerned about? And Nick, what was your theory regarding that then?
So that is not in the trailer that we watched. That is not in the Deja Vu trailer. There was another trailer that got released, I think, last week. And Keanu Reeves introduces the trailer to the Japanese audience. And so it's a trailer with slightly different footage. And one of the clips that you see, and I'll send it to you in the chat, it is of Morpheus being formed by the tiny little robots that make up the baby head, the Deus Ex Machina, that was at the end of Matrix Revolutions. So do you remember
Revolutions, the second one or the third one? Sorry,
third one.
So do you remember Neo is having a conversation with a giant floating head?
I don't remember that.
Oh, yes. Now you've said that. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Because honestly, the films have kind of washed out of me. I just remember a 30-minute conversation with the computer, major computer program with the guy with the white beard. Yeah. Right. So, now you've said that. I gotcha. Right.
That giant head is actually called the Deus Ex Machina. And the face is formed by tiny little robots that come out of like these little holes in it. There is a scene in the Japanese trailer where it looks like the same thing is happening, except they form Morpheus.
So why does that concern you?
Because I don't...
Are you thinking the Morpheus is a bad guy to try and dumb it down?
He is either a machine, that he's probably really dead, that he's a machine... And a couple of other things. Like, as a super cool character that I liked from the originals, I don't know that I would like it if they had him either working for the machines, being dead, or something of that nature. But that's probably...
Are you worried that the Morpheus that we already know, Lawrence Fishburne's character from the first three, as being potentially made up of machines as well, or just this new one? That would suck if it was. It would definitely suck if it was the previous three. If they're implying that he was a machine all along, that would suck.
Because I remember back when we talked about some quote from the actor who plays Morpheus, where he's like, "Yeah, he's Morpheus, but he's not," and he's like trying to grow and stuff. And my pitch, or at least my takeaway from that, was like, "Well, what if Morpheus is a machine who's like learning to be a good guy?" Or, you know, like a program, not necessarily a machine. Wants to be human. And I really don't know what's going on. But I also have a theory that, based on the last trailer, that waking them up is also a simulation. So they double simulated this time. So like you get out of the Matrix and you're still in another simulation with robots and stuff.
I mean, they threw out a couple of interesting lines. So in addition to the one that I've already said, there was another one where he said words to the effect of, why would you use old code to make something new? And then someone said, maybe this isn't the story you think it is. So that to me makes me think we're about to get some retconning of a couple of things, but we'll see. Be interesting.
Well, that would worry me in a sense then, that it just means it's going to be turtles on turtles on turtles all the way down, whether just every time you wake up from a matrix, you're not really waking up, you're now in another matrix. You're not really Inception. Waking up, you're now in another matrix. You're not really, and so on and so on and so on. Yeah, okay.
But that matrix, yeah, but to worry about matrix, where the kick comes from. Need that kick music.
But it looks great. Keanu looks great in it. I think the way they made him look older and different, or whatever you want to call it, looks great. But the guy never seems to look fucking older, though, right? I mean,
no. There's a scene in like the mirror. But I love they just keep the beard and the hair that he uses for every movie, but rather than being like, no, you just look more like old Neo. It's like,
this, you said, Keanu. Let him keep it. I'm willing to bet that they were like, hey, listen, you got this contract to finish out these fucking John Wick movies. You better not shave the goddamn beard.
So Mission Impossible situation.
Yeah. All over again.
Gonna edit out his beard in post.
Yeah, Superman return. Yeah, Henry Cavill moment with his cash.
You guys already talk about some movies. We got some movies to talk about. So I'm willing to truncate one of these conversations to have a longer conversation about one. So Bruised is one where I think we've all seen it. And I mean, no spoiler here. I think it's fine.
Yeah.
I don't think it is a film that is worthy of Halle Berry's talent, but
she directed it too.
She did direct it. She didn't write it though. And whew, man. And so there are a couple of things about this movie. So it has a 6.1 out of 10 on IMDb. It has a 51% on Rotten Tomatoes. And oddly enough, there's not a critic, an audience score. I don't know what that means. I've never seen that. Although it says it has 100 ratings, there's no quantification of what the audience thinks of this movie. And I've never seen that before on Rotten Tomatoes. So I thought that that was pretty fascinating. Danny, you're the pugilist of the group. I walked into this film and I was, again, kind of expecting one thing, and there were some things that I assumed from the trailer and probably shouldn't have. And I walked away kind of meh about the movie. Like, it was fine. It was entertaining for what it was, but I could not help but think of Warrior and Creed Rocky to some extent, and hoping that that's what I would be getting and didn't. So you tell me what you thought of this film.
I was torn most of the way through from enjoying a lot of the performances. I forget the actors' names. I'm terrible at this, but the actor that played Halle Berry's boyfriend, I thought he.
I thought you were going to say the actor that played Halle Berry.
Yeah, what's her name? But I thought he was great. So, because I've seen him in a couple of things before, I can't remember what I even seen him in. But the one with Kiefer Sutherland on Netflix. Lone Survivor. Yeah, so he plays his right hand man in that, and so to see him in this kind of role was quite a surprise. But he did really well. So basically, I saw the cast doing a really good job until it got to the things that involved what the story was about, the other side of the story, mother daughter relationship, coming of age, etc., and not coming of age. Repenting for past mistakes, but then the octagon stuff, the UFC stuff, the fighting stuff, that was just fucking awful. It really wasn't good. No, it wasn't, you know, she's meant to be a UFC champion or 10 professional fights, but the way they choreographed the fights, the way they showed the fighting, even when they were sparring, I was like, that's how beginners would learn to do it. That's not someone that knows their way around a ring. And then the final fight itself was, that's just awful. It took me out of the film. It took me, I don't believe it anymore. I don't believe this character has gone through as much as she's gone through, because that's not how you would actually fight. For me to really buy into her character coming back or making that mistake and losing that championship fight, I really needed to see her really showing that she knows what she was doing in the ring, and that the fight sequences, the jujitsu, whatever they were going to go for, whichever they focused on, needed to be good. And I needed to buy into it, and it just wasn't. So that for me kind of ruined all of the hard work that I think Halle Berry and a lot of the supporting cast did as far as their characters go. The hard work was kind of ruined a little bit by that stuff. Even the little training montage, I'm looking at it going, there's no reason for her to be training like that. There's no, why would you throw in the fucking HUD, whatever river that was, to get cold water exposure? There's safer ways of doing it, but they're not going to give her a fucking disease that's going to knock her out for 2 weeks before the fight. That, I get what they were trying to do, cold water therapy, building up, resilience, etc. But that's not how you do it. How Rocky did it was how you do it. You fight in a freezer or you know what I mean? Those kind of things. So it just didn't, then she was doing one thing with a kettlebell, jumping over something and then doing all this stuff. I'm like, that's Rocky from 1979 or whatever it is.
Right.
The modern day way of training is not like that. So I get what you're trying to do, but you did such a piss poor job of it that you've now taken me out of all the other good stuff that you did. So that's how I
think
about it.
That last point that you made really matters, because I think Rocky holds a special place in people's heart for the nostalgia at this point, but nobody looks at it and says, that is accurate to what a boxer would be doing or should be doing or how a fight would occur. Yeah. As we've moved through the decades and Stallone has taken it more and more seriously, that has evolved to the point where we got to Warrior and Creed and all of these other things that have more engaging and more realistic training and fights and things of that nature. So I agree with you there, Nick.
Do you remember the choreography of the fight in Creed was brilliant, the way they did the fight scenes? Because you actually, short of actually hitting each other with 100% power behind it, they were actually boxing. They were laying gloves on each other, and it was fucking great.
So Michael B. Jordan actually got knocked out.
Oh, brilliant. Well, just as I said, I do remember stuff, but I thought that was a mistake punch, a bit like when...
It was. He still got knocked the fuck out.
Knocked out Robbie. Yeah. But what I meant was that they were meant to be pulling the punches a little bit, but or something went wrong. But it made it look real, right? And obviously the fight choreographer that they got in made that again, because then I really felt that he was in that fight. And so I was bought into it. And unfortunately, with this latest film, I wasn't. It took me out, sadly, because I do think there were some good performances. There was a couple of things with the story that threw me. The relationship between her and her trainer, Bobby. Them splitting up before the fight, that didn't make a lot of sense because it didn't affect her in the fight. So I don't know why they needed to do it that way. I think they could have split them up after the fight. I needed you with me. This is when I needed you. I needed you for this moment. I needed you in the ring with me or next to me. But now it's over. I've got my daughter. That made a little bit more sense. But that was a minor thing. It was like that. It was a little bit odd to me that.
Wait, do you mean son? Manny? You said, I've got my daughter.
Sorry. Yes, no, I apologize. Yeah, the son. Sorry. I don't know what I was thinking of, but the daughter. Yeah. Yeah. The son. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I just, because I got that they got together and I got that she needed her and I got that they started a relationship. But I think that could have carried them all the way through to the end of the fight. She could have been the person that slapped her on the face and said, come on, you got this and all that.
Oh, they got the guy from Dune for that. It's the only other thing I recognize him from.
Yeah, he was. But he was like, hey,
the weird guy from Dune.
He was a non-part leading to that point, though, wasn't he? He was just in the background a little bit.
He was just like sitting at the gym half the time.
Yeah, and then suddenly.
Yeah, you remember her? She's awesome.
Pre-fight.
Yeah.
So, anyway, but that was a minor point. Like you, Jonesy, overall, it was a bit meh, a bit disappointing. So, it tried to be many things, and unfortunately didn't hit any of them.
I would say this, and I'll kick it over to Nick immediately. I agree with you, and I disagree with you, only because I think that the story that they were trying to tell with that is that all of these people that she met along the way that were supposed to do that, to be there for her and with her, we're not. And she's in that ring by herself. So Bobby was gone. The guy that you were talking about, the guy that played Desi, gone. Yep. Immaculate, gone. Even her son, gone. All of these people that should have been her, and her mom, all these people that should have been in her corner, when you're in that ring, it's just you. And from that perspective, I get it, but I think that they could have done better work in explaining that if that's what they were actually going for.
No, that's fair. That could be. Yeah, I certainly didn't get that until you potentially just put that out there then. So yeah,
And that's probably just me reading too much fucking into it. They could have just, you know, I think that they could have done better work in explaining that. Yeah. Nick Dahl, thoughts, feeling on Bruised.
Interesting that I was going to split it over two nights because it's not my kind of movie. I actually watched it all the one night. It's positive. You guys are absolutely wrong. I hate when people are like, that's not a sports movie. It's like, just because someone has a personal life, this is still a sports movie. Because you guys were like, it's not a sports movie. And I'm like, yes, it is.
Did we say it's not a sports movie?
Someone did, because I was like, I don't like sports movies. And someone in the Slack was like, it's not a sports movie. I hear that all the time with movies like Fighter and stuff. And it's like, isn't it though? Like, just because they have personal lives, it's still, and the, you know, obviously the main plot's about her and her child more than coming back. But still, it's a sports movie. She trains for half the movie. She opens with the big fight. It ends with the big fight. Like,
if I said that, I meant it in so far as it's not, the fights aren't good and the training isn't good.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that's what I meant.
That's what I was going to say. Exactly what I was going to say. Because the sports part of it wasn't very good. Okay. It didn't make it a sports movie.
Because people are always like, oh, Moneyball isn't a sports movie, or Creed isn't a sports movie. And it's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Who said that? No one said that.
No, definitely, I've heard the Moneyball one. My friend's like, you like it. I'm like, I don't like baseball. They're like, it's not a baseball movie.
Yeah, it is.
Like, what? Yes, it is.
Yeah, it is. 100% it is. Like, the whole context is sports.
It was my least favorite of the things that we're going to talk about today.
It was the least favorite?
Yeah, because we have three more, right?
Three more?
Technically, more. Ghostbusters really quick.
No.
Oh, no, what Hawkeye either? Me and Danny hadn't seen Ghostbusters last time.
Which time you got? Do you have anything else to say about Bruised?
I wouldn't recommend it.
What you said would not?
Would not.
Okay.
Even if you like sports movies.
Even if you like sports movies. What I do find interesting about this, so the last thing I will say about Bruised is that it is the number one movie on Netflix right now, which is kind of sad because I think that if she was going to have a performance in a movie and something that did that, this shouldn't have been it, at least for me. But that said, she has gotten a really good deal from Netflix now. So she is going to be making movies for and with them for a while now off the backs of the performance of this film. So from that perspective, good for her. She got a very good deal. Ha ha ha.
Yeah.
So she has a multi-picture deal with Netflix now based off this.
Nice.
Good for her. It's good to see her back.
I haven't seen her in a while. Work. Yeah, it feels like. So.
What are you talking about? She was in John Wick.
I didn't see John Wick, but I remember her in the trailer. You're right.
You didn't see her in a while, so she's been in stuff.
I forgot. Well, that's why I said I haven't seen her. I didn't say she hasn't been around. I said I haven't seen her in a while.
So, Cowboy Bebop. You guys want to talk some Bebop?
Yeah.
I got to say this. I really like talking shows and movies with the two of you, but I'm genuinely disappointed that Jammer isn't here.
Yeah.
Because
we need a Jammer.
We have been he and I have been talking about just the cartoon since forever. It comes up every time we talk about anime. We've both been excited for the show. And so here we are talking about the show and he's not here to talk about it with you guys who have not seen the anime. Oh, I'm sorry. And I didn't do my normal thing, but give me one sec. So this show currently has I missed my thing. I'm losing it. It's got a 46% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Ouch.
And that is the
really
critics. Yep. And it's got a 54% from the audience, and it's got a 6.8 out of 10 on IMDb. And I can tell you why. Before I ask you guys what you think, the reason is because everybody that was a fan of the anime watched this and wanted the anime. And this is not that. There are elements of it. Like, for instance, Jet Black is fucking Jet Black. Like, that's like, he is straight up him out of the show with some exceptions, right? So he didn't have an ex-wife. He didn't have a guy that he didn't like that was shacked up with his wife. He didn't have a daughter. So Mustafa Shakir he fucking embodied that role. Everything else, I don't know. But is for you all who haven't seen the anime and whoever would like to jump in first, let me know what you thought about it.
You got it, Nick.
Okay. I loved it. I'm actually shocked it has that low reviews from critics. So I guess a lot of the critics reviewing it are probably geek sites, not like mainstream. Like, no, I can't picture someone at the LA Times who just has to watch everything is like, I like the anime better. So, I mean, a lot of people who are reviewing it haven't seen it, which is why I'm shocked it's so low. The audience score is different.
I don't know that I think that's a fair assessment. I imagine that people that review things on Rotten Tomatoes are people that do it because they watch a lot of stuff. And so, I can go through and look and take a look at those scores, but for the critics ratings, there are 71 of them.
Damn.
So it's quite a few. And there's,
low. I just really enjoyed like the poppiness of it. Like we kind of discussed like Baby Driver and Tarantino and that kind of stuff before when we only had trailers. And I loved learning about the world because I knew nothing about Cowboy Bebop, you know, like they all fly through like a Stargate type thing and they have to like, there's a tax on it. I remember how pissed off what's his face is, like, when he's like, I don't pay no tax.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's a fun bounty hunter show and with really cool fight scenes. And I really love, they, I was sold from the opening at the casino where you don't even know it was the middle of space until the one guy fired the gun against the wall and tries to suck them all out. And just from there, like, without knowing anything about the comic, the anime version of the characters, I love Spike. I loved, I can't remember the girl's name on the team.
Faye
Valentine. I liked, you said his name was Jet?
Jet Black.
Jet Black. And then I actually liked Vicious a lot, but I really had no interest in the girl
Julia.
Issue between the two.
Julia.
I more just liked that they have a history where it's like, you're alive, you're my arch nemesis. It's like, I almost expected more of a Vader relationship until we got the flashback episode that explained their earlier relationship.
Okay. And so Danny, I mean, before I kick it to Danny, I'll admit as well, I liked the core cast, Spike, Jet, and Faye together in their relationship, not the relationship that they had in the anime, but, and that's fine. I really enjoyed that. But it was the rest of it that was kind of lacking for me. Danny, what do you think?
Yeah, I loved it. I really, really enjoyed it. From like Nick, I love the world building that they did and tried to explain how the whole thing worked. The production value of it, the effects were of really high quality. I mean, just I noticed when the ship came to land on the water, that and then kind of nudged against an old-fashioned boat, should we say, an old-fashioned back in them days. And I love the fact that all the planets had 1950s cars on and stuff like that. Why would you do that? Yeah, so I really love the visuals, the production value on it, the effects and the world that they'd built. Those core characters, I really enjoyed watching them grow and get together. I like the fact they didn't rush those relationships, particularly when Faye came in. That was slowly brought in over 3 or 4 episodes when she eventually joined the crew, etc. No, I thoroughly loved it. I thought the action was great. Again, they filmed it really well. You could see what was going on and it looked real. It looked good. The camera work was great. And there were some wonderful, really, really funny, good comedy moments in there. When he was watching his daughter's show.
Yes, that was the funniest part of the show.
Outside having the fight. The little touches in the background. You can barely see it because the window's kind of dirty. But he's having this fucking rumble outside with
like 10 people.
And it's just the attention to detail, I guess, is what I'm getting at. The attention to detail, both in the world building, but also the comedy that's happening in and around the main characters at all times was really good. Just that stuff. Even the relationship between Faye and her mum, the ultimate con artist. I enjoyed all of that. The Julia relationship, I didn't buy into. That felt rushed. I think we spoke about it on our Slack channel, dear listener, and that was the only thing that I felt needed longer. If it was longer, I may have bought into it a bit more. But the fact that that particular bit felt rushed was my only down point about it. And it's a minor down point on a show that I thoroughly enjoyed and really look forward to another season, which is why I was disappointed with those scores, because I worry now that we might not get a second season. Yeah. But
as long as it trends,
I defer to you, Jackie.
So for me, it wasn't even necessarily that the story with, and maybe rushed is a way to describe it. For me, it was the idea that she went from wanting to be safe to wanting to take over a criminal organization. Those are not the same paths. And what was frustrating is having the knowledge of the cartoon where she left, like she ran away and she was in hiding for all of these years. So the idea of a character that was just sitting around getting abused, she was lowered in my esteem watching the show because of that. And when I say the show, the Netflix version, because that was not this character. She isn't a victim. And it was hard to turn my brain around from that. And so then to watch her go from being a victim to deciding that she was going to shoot Spike because she was upset about being abandoned. And then again, having the knowledge of like, well, you could have fucking left at any time. And I know that that's not necessarily true to life, but that's also not who this character is either. So those are things that made it hard to watch. It felt like the issues that she was having were a lot of her own making. In addition to that, I mean, I say this as nicely as I can. Vicious was a fucking bitch. Like, I could not stand him. Like, he for someone to be called vicious, he was only vicious in the sense that he beat the shit out of people that were helpless. And
yeah, like the flashback that, episode.
He's yeah. a bully, you're right.
Yeah. Like he's the bigger bully and Spike's and like off to another shit.
I hated that. And I didn't, it was, this has nothing to do with how I felt about the anime. I just don't like bullies. And I get that you're not supposed to like them, but even someone that is supposed to be compelling as a character, I didn't like that coming from him. And I also didn't think that going back to the triangle between the three of them, his obsession with their relationship was even worse. Nick, you said that you called it love between Spike and Julia. That's just infatuation.
Yeah, and so I no, didn't understand. Right. I'm just saying, like, the heart yeah. doesn't make sense sometimes. It's like, oh, we had one I night get that it together. Doesn't make sense, I love you. Like,
yeah. Years and years and years, just based off of this, yeah. and it was just it. Yeah. It didn't feel well written, and yeah. I think if that's where the story ends and that's where the story goes, it falls flat for me because that's where the crescendo is, that Trinity, that relationship, and it just falls yep. flat.
Yep. What did you think? So with that in mind though, Jones, because you obviously were a fan and you've seen the anime, what did you think about the series on the whole? We talked about that little bit that I think we all agree is a bit an area that was a minor blemish in the whole thing. But what did you think of the show being an anime, fan of the anime, sorry?
I really liked it. I thought that they did a good job. I did not expect a one-to-one translation of the anime to live action. And I didn't get that. But I love the core relationship between the three members. I really like the production values, like the look of the ships. Like you guys have already the talked
film
about.
Film noir episode. Cars.
Yeah, like... I really like that computer
simulation episode. They all have a very unique look.
I don't know about that one. I do like the detective noir one. That one was good. And that one is lifted for the most part straight from the anime. That is one that I think fans of the series would look for, the anime series would look forward to. So I think there's a lot to own. And they do a lot of character swapping and story swapping. And none of that stuff really bothered me. It was really where they try to build out and make more of some of these characters than what they were.
Okay.
But other than that, I really did like it. I also, man, I'm trying to decide would I feel this way had I not watched the anime was Ed. The reveal of Ed at the end.
Who the hell is
Ed?
That?
Ed was the character at the end with the glasses.
No, I hair. Know, but they made a big deal online when he showed up. And I'm like, what's so his importance later?
So she's a hacker. So throughout the course of this series, even the Netflix version, they mentioned her a couple of times. They were getting tips from Radical Ed.
Edward.
That is this character. And so she was feeding them tips about where bounties might be and this, that, and the other. That character isn't supposed to be Pee-wee Herman. And she is... you know, she ebbs and she flows and there's an up and a down to the way that she talks. This was all top and it was gratiating. Like it was annoying as fuck. And
I must admit, I was a bit annoyed by her already and I didn't even know who she was or anything. So I'm like, I hope she's not huge like character that all the time. Yeah. Shit.
Huge character. And yeah. It's hard to judge from like a 10 or 15 second spot. But
yeah.
I also think that having watched the anime, I do think it's possible to be able to get a feel for a character very quickly. And I don't think they did a good job of getting me excited for what comes next, especially if this is what they're going for.
Okay. Nick could adjust
I guess that's where Nick and I have got a bit of an advantage in the sense that we have no idea what's coming next. So we're excited regardless, right? We from that.
Hope to get thing, season two.
Yeah, me too. So I get that. You said you wasn't what you were expecting, Jonesy. I'm guessing. Don't mean to put words in your mouth, but you didn't want a cut for cut remake of the anime. I'm guessing because otherwise, why bother, right? If that's all you're gonna get, or would you like it to have stayed closer? Or are you happy that it was its own thing?
I'm happy that they tried to do their own thing. I think it would have been possible to do a one for one, but why?
Yeah.
But that would be my, that would be my, that's why obvious. Then?
Yeah.
If you've got, if you're all, you'll always have your anime. If you don't like this, you've always got that, right? And we spoke right. about that before with Star Wars and stuff. Hey, you'll always have the trilogy. If that's what you love, then fucking go and love that. It's fine. And if you've got anime or the Cowboy Bebop anime, go with that. Because this has clearly crossed a little bit of a bridge. Because, well, I know that Nick's dabbling with a lot more of the anime than I have, but I fucking love this. I've got no intention of watching any anime. But I watched one episode.
That was going to be my question. That was going to be my question. Was this going to spur you guys to start watching it?
No, I tried an episode just to see how different it was. And I was shocked. It was almost the same plot as the first episode, which made me think it can't be that different. But I didn't enjoy it enough to keep watching it.
It's like,
I'd rather rewatch the live action version.
It's like a Game of Thrones type thing, right? Where like in the very beginning, it's very similar. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, okay. It's very different tracks.
I do think, as we said earlier, though, adaptation, you know, adaptation is not one-to-one. It's, you combine characters, you cut characters. And the adaptations that are one-to-one, like the first two Harry Potter movies, are awful. But when you start shortening certain events and elongating others, like, I don't know, it's like even Lord of the Rings, even the extended cut, still didn't get any Tom Bombadil. I've been disappointed about that for like a decade, two decades, I think. It's the 20th anniversary of Lord of the Rings or something. I'm like, even the extended cut, no Tom Bombadil? But you have to do stuff like that. Otherwise, you're just watching the book.
Yeah. And I think with this, I'm of two minds about a couple of things. Like Faye, nothing. So Spike and Faye are not as much like the anime versions. And I'm kind of okay with that. I think probably the difference with Faye is she is designed to be a femme fatale in the anime. And I guess someone thought that that wouldn't play as well for a live action version. And so they nixed some of that stuff. So for instance, Danny, you pointed out that her mother in the anime is not a woman. That character is not a woman. The person's name is Matsumoto, and it is a man who bilked her out of all of her money and pretended like that he was in love with her. And so you get to see this character that was very naive go from that to becoming this just like insane femme fatale, not insane, very strong-willed femme fatale. And that evolution is kind of missing based on what they did. And I'm not really mad at it. I am curious why they made that choice. I don't dislike it, but it's just a very different character. And Spike is interesting because from what I recall, I don't remember him having too much compunction or feeling about lying to Jet about who he was and what he did. And this is interesting. That's clearly set up to be tension going forward. So you need those kinds of things.
Kick off. If I see you again, I'm going to kill you. That's a definition of tension. Yeah, that
which broke me so hard. I love Jet Black. They're so cool together. Like eating noodles and like getting excited when the mom's making like dumplings and shit.
Yeah, it's fun. It's different. It's very different relationship. I'll also say that it's a shame that you guys won't end up watching the anime because I think the ending is probably one of the best anime endings or television endings I've seen. I really enjoy the ending.
I'll probably work my way through it very, very slowly, but if I could do like an episode a month, I'll get to the end of it eventually, or an episode a week.
Yeah, I mean, it's a famous ending. So among people that have watched, like it's the thing that people still talk about. And I don't know if you guys will feel the same way, right? It's just like, it's like almost like a Star Wars thing where the people that saw it at the time, mind's blown.
Yeah.
And people years later, like, I guess, I don't know why you're so excited. I'm curious if you guys would feel the same way at the end of the anime.
You're going to have to stay curious. you should also always be curious and not judgmental, Jonesy.
That is true.
Always be curious, not judgmental.
The other thing I want to do is I want to throw in Jammer's thoughts. So he left us a note. He said, citizens of Gotham, Gotham City has earned a rest from crime, but should the wait? No, that's not it.
What?
I don't know.
That's
the wrong note. Hey, oh no! It says, it was fun for the first half, but I found myself getting bored halfway through. Too much Vicious. And he's right. Like, Vicious is like, he's in the background, and he's kind of a menace that you don't really see in this thing that you're afraid of. And the way they expanded his character, they diminished him significantly.
I will agree partially with the statement. Like, halfway through, I did stop watching until we decided we were going to do it for the podcast. Like, I wasn't like, oh, quit. I was just like, oh, a different show came out, I'm going to switch to this. And then we were doing it for the podcast, I'm like, I guess I can binge 5 episodes today.
Shit. Yeah.
Were they all hour long? I thought it started closer to 30. I wasn't paying attention, though, because when I was watching the final ones, I'm like, oh, these are like 40 minutes.
I didn't pay attention.
Yeah.
Danny, do you recall?
I did the whole thing. I loved the first episode so much that I went through it. Even the difficult bits, like Too Much Vicious or that. The Julia story, even that, I was like, no, it'll get through this in a minute. There'll be the good stuff again. And there was. So no, I was happy to binge the whole fucking thing. I loved it.
Yeah, the whole daddy issues thing for him it just fell flat for me as well.
Vicious.
Yeah. Like, he's
they were things that could have been left and added into the second season. I think they seemed a bit, like you said, Jonesy, that there seemed to be a bit, or not rushed, but certainly tried to squeeze in too much stuff that didn't really pay off well enough.
Yeah.
Didn't buy it enough.
Yeah. So I assume, I don't want to put words in you all's mouth, you guys recommend or not recommend?
Totally recommend.
Thumbs up for me.
Obviously, if you don't have to be a fan of the anime to enjoy it, as neither of us are.
Definitely. I think if I had to give it a rating, I'd give it a 6 out of 10.
Oh, I would have gone higher. I would have gone 7.
Oh, I know.
I'd say 8.
You guys would have gone higher.
I like 8. It's a good number.
For me, the issue, it really comes down to, like, all the changes aside, it really comes down to the villain. Ed is something that they can obviously adjust, but the fact that they make Julia the villain and Vicious is just kind of like a pathetic little punk, it wasn't interesting. And that is regardless of my esteem for the anime. It wasn't done well. And I think you need, if you're going to expand the villain's story that much, they at least need to be a good antagonist, and they weren't.
Fair enough.
All right.
So
want to say in two sentences. Loved Ghostbusters and recommend it. Love Hawkeye so far and recommend it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't need to go into detail past that, but yeah, Ghostbusters blew my fucking mind. It's the best experience I've had in the theater since Endgame. Just everyone was reacting. Oh, wow. And yeah, the audience loved it. Kids aren't allowed in Alamo Drafthouse, so it's all, you know, either older people who saw it when they were young or people my age who appreciate it. The crowd was weeping and laughing and it was a Sunday afternoon sold out show, and it was a blast.
That's cool.
Mine was the first showing I could get here when it launched. It was 10 o'clock in the morning on the IMAX. The showing was packed and there was kids and adults there, and everyone was laughing and clapping and enjoying when they were meant to. A few tears were shed at the end as well. I thought it was really, really good. So I was super happy about watching that. I'd heard positive stuff here on the site already, 99% positive stuff. And so I was kind of confident going in, but I was really pleased with how much I enjoyed it. I'll happily watch it again on the big screen. Great.
Yeah, I really like how they use the title. Like, it makes sense the minute you watch the opening scene, Afterlife. So I really dug how they treated that.
We had a different title here, remember? We had From Beyond. So
really?
Yeah.
It still works, it still I guess. Works. It doesn't fit the theme as close as Afterlife. Yeah.
Well, I knew what the title was, but yeah, ours was called From Beyond. There must be some sort of
Ghostbusters From Beyond. Oh, it does make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway.
Good deal.
Yeah, sorry, Jonesy. You can wrap it up now. I think Nick and I have agreed on the
gushed enough
Twitter review of Ghostbusters.
I actually need to go back and listen to yours and Jammers now that I've seen it. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we both liked it.
We cut off, didn't we, Nick? We left.
Yeah, we had to leave because we were actually really excited to see it.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, we both liked it. So.
Oh boy. Yeah, I've recommended it to a lot of people, but no one trusts me. That the Ghostbusters movie is that good. No one trusts me. What? Anyway.
Craziness. You should tell them you're Booster Nick now. They believe you.
Booster Nick.
Booster Nick.
Booster Gold Nick.
Booster Gold Nick.
Boosted. All right. Nick.
Well, dear listener, that will do it for this episode of Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast for the week of, what week is it? 29 November of 2021. If you like what you heard, do all the socials, like, rate, comment, subscribe, share. We would definitely appreciate it. Also, get on whatever service you're using to listen to our podcast and rate us, comment, and let us know what you think. We would definitely appreciate it. Also, check out other podcasts from LRM Online, where else but the website, as well as wherever you get your podcasts. Nick, where can you be found?
I'm at Geeky Nick Dahl on Twitter, and I also do Marvel Multiverse Mayhem with Kyle. We're finishing up our Spider-Man rewatch and watching.
Not MCM? I thought it was MCM.
No. It's different.
Okay. Danny, where can you be found?
MMM. You can find me in the living room wrapping Christmas presents because I'm that organized this year.
Woo, getting ahead of the curve. Watching some Star Trek Discovery on Pluto and wrapping
gifts.
I am now. And you can find me tweeting and gramming at Sir Jonesiest, as well as right here on Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast. Folks, as always, thanks for listening, and we will catch you on the next one. Hasta lasagna.
Don't get any on ya.
Mission accomplished!
What are we doing next week?
I won't be here next week.